Our Bible passage comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, found on page 1687 in your pew Bible. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out fishing," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll call him Mike, and by the way, when I use names, individuals, I'm not referring to a specific person, so don't ever think, "Oh, he's talking about so-and-so." No, I'm not. Mike is a figment of my imagination. Mike was in his 30s, raised in the Christian Reformed Church, married his high school sweetheart, and they kept going to the Christian Reformed Church, had a couple of kids in Sunday school, and they were good members of the church. Mike was a carpenter, and he worked with a guy named Ivan. Now, Ivan, about his same age, and Ivan... Well, he tended to use some salty language. I'll just leave it at that. Ivan was living with a gal, and he also had two kids. But basically, Ivan was a good guy. And so every Monday they would get together for a coffee break and so. And inevitably the question was, "Well, what did you do on the weekend?" Well, and so they would talk about maybe a hockey game they had gone to, or took the kids to the zoo, or whatever. Every once in a while, Mike would say, "Yeah, and I went to church," but then would quickly change the subject. One day, Ivan asked, "Mike, every once in a while you say you go to church. Why do you go to church? I mean, hardly anybody goes to church these days. Like, why would you bother? A lot of other good things to do rather than go to church." Well, yeah, Mike was a little bit tongue-tied, and well, yeah, I kind of grew up in the church, and you know, my wife likes to go, so I kind of go with her to make her happy, and yeah, it's good for the kids. They learn good morals, and hey, what do you think about the Edmonton Oilers? In other words, he's going to change the subject. It's easier to talk about the Oilers and why they're not scoring goals and all that sort of thing. And so Ivan said, you know, maybe once in a while, once I should go with you to church. And then Mike thought about his church, and he thought about the ethnic makeup of the church, and he thought about the fact that he was living with this gal, and he wasn't married, and so what would people think, and people would say, you know, what's going on with this church now, that people who are not even living together or go to church, and so he kind of wanted to avoid the subject. And, well, maybe, you know, if you go to Crossroads or so, if you want to get a little bit of, want to know what church is all about. Anyway, that Sunday, Mike and his wife went to church, and the minister had a sermon on John 21. And that sermon hit Mike between the eyes. Mike knew enough about the fishing metaphor to know that it had something to do with outreach, with evangelism. And so when the question was asked, have you any fish? Have you caught anything? He would have to say, no. To be honest, I haven't. And then Jesus says, well, then cast your net on the other side. This is the way you've been doing it all night, but maybe you should do it a little differently. And as Mike heard that passage, he thought of Ivan. And he thought, what a cop-out answer I gave to my friend. And so he talked to his wife, and he said, you know, I feel really badly about this. And then his wife says, well, how about if we would invite them over for a barbecue, and we would talk to them about church and about Jesus. And so Mike invited Ivan. And he said, Ivan, I've got to apologize. I gave you a real cop-out answer when I talked about that, about me going to church because of my wife and that sort of thing. I want you to know that Jesus is the most important person in my life. The way I conduct my life, my marriage, as a father, as a construction worker. It all has to do, it all comes out of my deep faith for Jesus. And I would love nothing more for you to know that Jesus. And so please join me. Join us. And so they did. And to make a long story short, with some mentoring and with some Bible studies, Ivan and his wife joined the church. They made profession of faith. And they got married. And with tears in his eyes, Mike could only say, it is the Lord. It's very significant that we find this passage in John chapter 21. John 21 is almost like a P.S. Notice how John 20 ends. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in the book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I mean, that's a pretty solid conclusion to the book. But then we get chapter 21. And it seems that they wanted to make sure that people realized that Peter, who had become and was becoming a leader in the church, that people wouldn't be able to say, well, yeah, he was a guy that denied Jesus. Why should we listen to him? No, it was important to know that Peter was restored by Jesus himself. And we read that in this particular chapter. There was also the notion that John was not going to die because of something that Jesus had said, but John wanted to make that also very, very clear that Jesus said, well, if I wanted him to continue living, but he didn't predict that he was not going to die. So they wanted to make that's clear in John 21. And then thirdly, in terms of the mission. See, it's significant that we have this miraculous catch of fish. Because is this story familiar to you at all? Well, it should be, because in Luke chapter 5, we have a very, very similar story. There, Jesus is on the lake shore. There's a big crowd there, and he's teaching them from the boat. And when he's finished teaching, he goes to deeper water. And he says, in effect, let's go fishing. And then Peter says, well, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything. And then Jesus says, well, put your net on the other side. And they did. And again, they hauled in all sorts of fish. And it's at that point that we read that these disciples who became disciples, they dropped everything and they followed Jesus. And Jesus at that time says, you catch fish, but I will make you fishers of men. And so that's, of course, what happened. So for the next 3 years, they followed Jesus. And what a journey that was. Children, they got into the lives of children who were blessed by Jesus. People who were lame, people who were blind, even people who had died. People who were hungry. And so you see them going around the countryside in their fishing, so to speak, in their outreach. People who needed to hear the good news. And so that was their work and that was their ministry. They had become fishers of men. But then Jesus went to the cross. And he died. Yes, they were absolutely euphoric that Jesus was raised again, that he was alive. But yet, things were different. He wasn't the itinerant preacher anymore. It wasn't that they were following him along the countryside. They were in a room and all of a sudden Jesus was there. They were fishing, and all of a sudden Jesus was on the lake shore. And so things had changed. And so maybe these disciples were thinking, well, it was fun while it lasted. But now, yeah, we got to make a living. What kind of work do they know? Well, they were fishermen. Let's go fishing. Let's go back to our old jobs. Yeah, we have wonderful memories, but it seems that Jesus is leaving. You see, and it's at that point that Jesus stands on that lakeshore and says, again, as a reminder from Luke 5, have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught anything. Then put your nets on the other side. And they hauled in 153 fish. Actually, August Limas, he is a real person. He just told me this morning that actually the 153 at that time represented all the nations of the world. And so that too can be very, very significant. So what is Jesus wanting us to know? He is wanting the disciples to know, yes, things have changed. I am going to ascend into heaven. But what is the last thing that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28? Make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world. In other words, that ministry that you dropped all your paraphernalia to enter in with me to become fishers of men, that ministry will continue. And I will be there. I will go ahead of you. So that ministry from generation to generation will continue. Now the question is, do we want to be fishers of men? Do we want to be engaged in outreach? One of the books that the Renewal Lab had to read was by Alan Stanley. And he asks a very profound question. The question is this: who is the church for? And it's interesting, when they asked pastors, 89% of the pastors said the church is for the community. It's for the world. It's to be involved in a mission. But when the average member of the church was asked, who is the church for? The numbers were reversed. 89% said the church is for the members. And I know that when I started in the ministry, that's certainly the idea that I had. The church was for the youth, and we needed Sunday school and youth programs and catechisms. The church was for those who were in hospitalized and those who were ill. The church was for the seniors, and so you needed to go visit them. In other words, there was this, and they needed to hear good sermons. And so there was this notion that it wasn't said in so many words, but yet you get the impression that it was your job, pastor, to make sure that people are happy, that people are satisfied. And so all the whole cross section. Because you see, if people are not satisfied, well, then sometimes they'll close their wallets, or sometimes they'll just kind of move on somewhere else. And so there's this tremendous pressure. The church is for the members. Now, of course, that is an important aspect. Not only do we have the metaphor of fishing, we also have the metaphor of shepherding, of caring for the sheep. And so that I certainly don't want to minimize that in one iota. It is very important. But it is not an either or. It is not either outreach or inreach. It is a both and. We need to care for, as a matter of fact, I would even say, the happier we are, that's maybe not the right way, but, you know, the more content we are, the more we are rooted in Christ, the more we can be an outreaching community. And so again, the question is, do we want to be an outreaching community? You know, you get a company like WestJet. You know, they're always asking themselves the question, you know, have we caught enough people? Are enough people coming in our seats? What should we do in order to get more people? You see, these are the questions that they are always asking. And so my question is to us, is are we asking those questions? What can we do to put our nets on the other side? We've been fishing all night, or we've been doing it in a certain way. Have you caught anything? And often we have to say, no, we haven't. Well then, let me tell you what to do. And so are we willing? Are we willing to turn things around? And this congregation has decided to become part of the Renewal Lab. And see, that renewal lab then is not just a group of people that are interested in this thing, but are trying to be, you know, the leaven, so to speak, so that we may be willing to ask some of those questions. You know, when you talk about the church, there are three aspects, three B's, that we believe, that we belong, and that we behave. And so traditionally, I think believe or behave comes first. That we behave, we go to church regularly, we tithe, and we do the right things. We behave as good CRC people who we are. And of course, we believe. It's important that we believe the right things, and so we have catechism and all of these sort of things. And then once those things are kind of put in place, then we belong. Then we join. Then we're members. But in this day and age, things are changing. You saw that with my opening example with Mike and Ivan. He invited him to come. He belonged. And by joining Bible studies and by joining other things, you belong. And then the faith is shaped, the belief is shaped, and then the behavior is changed. And then they get married. They understand it from that faith and from that community. And so, yes, that can become a little messy. Jesus was also in his ministry there with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. He was criticized. What are you doing having lunch and supper with those people? It did become a little messy. But yet, for them to come to know the good news, to come to know Jesus Christ, they need to see it also in community, in fellowship. That's where it makes the difference. And so I hope and pray that through, with the help of the Renewal Lab, that we will ask some of the right questions. A few weeks ago when I was at the youth program on that Tuesday night, someone mentioned the fact, yeah, we have a number of youth, and some of them bring their friends. Well, that's fantastic. I hope you will see that as, you know, that you look at your friends and say, hey, how can I be a blessing to them? I could ask them to become part of this community that we call youth ministries. And I know through your feeding program. But there's many, many other ways. What do we hear Jesus say? Cast your net on the other side. We're celebrating and we're remembering the Reformation in these weeks and this time, the 500th anniversary. And yet Martin Luther was trying to, he wasn't trying to create a whole new church. He was trying to reform in terms of what was needed. Now at that time, everyone was Christian, so to speak. Everyone was part of a church. But, yeah, it went off the tracks. And so to get it back on the tracks, he nailed those 95 theses, and of course the one thing developed after another, and so that a whole, in some ways, sadly, another whole denomination was created. But that's not what he started out wanting to do. Today we live in a different age. Today not everyone has a belief in God, is part of a church. And so the questions we have to grapple with, We have to. We are living in a time like the very early church. They were just a very small minority. Imagine Jesus saying to them, "And you shall go to Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the world." What? This little motley crew, this little motley group here, that's what you want us to do? But that is what Jesus wanted them to do. And when you think about that today I believe there are 2 billion people in the world who call themselves Christians. When you think of that movement that started with just a few people, a few disciples, very powerful. And so how is he asking us today here in Lacombe to go out into the world, to befriend, whether it be through neighborhood life, whether it be at school, or let's pray about it. Let's talk about it so that there may be many, many occasions where we can only say together, "It is the Lord." Amen. Lord, speak to me that I may speak.